Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now it's time for Primarily New York, our coverage of the New York primary, which is coming up on Thursday, September 13th. In our first two episodes, we look broadly at the Cuomo-Nixon governor's race and the eight Democratic primaries for state Senate involving the breakaway Democrats who are known as the IDC. Today, the race for attorney general, the really interesting four-way battle to succeed Eric Schneiderman, who, of course, resigned in disgrace earlier this year. We already have commitments, by the way, from all four of these candidates to come on the show in the coming weeks for one-on-one interviews and your calls. That's unlike Cuomo and Nixon, by the way, neither of whom have accepted our invitations yet. We'll keep you posted on that. But attorney general is important for so many reasons, including consumer protection, anti-discrimination, regulating landlords, keeping Wall Street on the right side of the law, prosecuting Trump-related state crimes, if any, when the federal government won't. And it's been a stepping stone to governor, remember, for both Andrew Cuomo and Eliot Spitzer. And the attorney general's race has been the one in the news the last few days around the question of whether candidate Letitia James is too close to Governor Cuomo to monitor any possible corruption pertaining to him versus candidate Zephyr Teachout, a corruption specialist who's running with Cynthia Nixon. Teachout is the Fordham law professor who ran against Cuomo from the left in 2014. You may remember, like Nixon is doing today. James is the New York City public advocate. Also running are Hudson Valley Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney and Leisha Eve, Vice President for Government Affairs at Verizon. With me now are the three co-hosts of the New York Politics podcast, Off Topic on Politics, from Spectrum News New York One, Juan Manuel Benitez, New York One Noticias reporter and host of Puta Politica, and a sometimes guest host for me here on this show, Grace Rao, Spectrum New York One political reporter, and Zach Fink, their Albany State House correspondent. Hi, Grace. Hi, Zach. Hi, Juan Manuel.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Let's begin on the news. Zephyr Teachout versus Letitia James on their role as attorney general, potentially, with respect to Governor Cuomo, who is supporting James. Grace, why is this an issue?
Well, independence is key when it comes to any attorney general, because even though there's been so much focus so far in this race on President Trump and the role that the New York State Attorney General might play in going after this president and his administration through lawsuits, through courts, independence is important when it comes to being a check and balance on the state house and on the governor in particular. So Tish James has faced a lot of questions, very legitimate ones, about her relationship with Governor Cuomo and her independence. So she, for instance, said that she didn't think there would be any need for a Moreland Commission, for an anti-corruption commission, one that Cuomo did create several years ago and then shut down quite hastily, that there would be no need for such a commission to investigate corruption in Albany. That set off a lot of red flags for people who said, why would you preemptively be saying there's no need for a group to investigate corruption in Albany, since we know that corruption in Albany is such a significant problem and has been for so many years?
And Zach, how intertwined are the James and Cuomo campaigns? Do they appear together? Does Cuomo help to fund her campaign? How intertwined are they?
Well, I'll go back to just the office itself, Brian. I mean, the office of the attorney general is elected independently. Unlike other states where the governor actually appoints the attorney general,
New Jersey, for example.
Right. You know, and I think that's, a key point in all of this, because Governor Cuomo, Tish James and Kathy Hochul, the lieutenant governor, are all running together on a ticket, a United Democratic ticket. And the criticism has been that they're all running on message. And I'll give you an example. All three have been banging the drum for several weeks now about tax returns, about releasing tax returns, and how that seems to be the big issue that is the most important one in the campaign. Nobody's saying it's not important. Transparency is very important. But it started out with asking their opponents for 1 year. then it went to 5 years, then it went to 10 years. And for example, I think there are many people who would look at the attorney general candidate and say, well, if we're going to talk about transparency and that's so important, why aren't you calling for transparency in government? There are several pieces of legislation that would prevent something like the Buffalo Billion from ever happening again, the corruption case. And that legislation got quashed by the Democrats in the Assembly and Governor Cuomo. So, you know, that I think are, if you're addressing both those issues, I think you'd be less subject to that criticism, Brian.
And Zephyr Teachout, by contrast, was the Cynthia Nixon of 2014, the Democratic primary candidate against Cuomo from his left. And she's the author of a book called Corruption in America, as well as teaching that at Fordham Law. So at least on that point, she's got an argument. And we'll get into the other two candidates as well.
But I think, Brian, that the independence argument is a little bit, they're trying to differentiate themselves, right? You have four candidates, and more than 40% of the voters, according to the polls, they don't know who they're going to vote for yet.
That's who's winning the race so far, undecided.
Right. Undecided.
Or never heard of these people.
Correct. But in more than 10 years, we've seen how the attorney general and the governor, they've been going hand in hand. I remember in 2006 when Andrew Cuomo was running for attorney general, and at a debate for New York One, he kept repeating how close he was to Eliot Spitzer, who was running for governor and won.
And was really popular at that moment.
Exactly, exactly. And then we know that the Governor Cuomo and Eric Schneiderman, even though it was really public that they didn't like each other, they never did anything or not that much that it was differentiating them that starkly. Mm-hmm. So I think they're using that issue, even though this year it might be more important because we have so many corruption cases around government.
And I guess we could say if Teachout is running on a ticket with Nixon, then it's the same thing if they both get elected.
Correct.
Listeners, your questions and thoughts about the Democratic primary for New York State Attorney General here in our series Primarily New York and with our three reporter guests from New York One and their new podcast, Off Topic on Politics, Grace Rao, Zach Fink, and Juan Manuel Benitez. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So let's take a step back and talk, Grace, about the role of the state attorney general, because this is another controversy involving Letitia James this week. And also, just for the general information of our listeners, some of whom may not have thought about this job very much, James said to the New York Times that if she's elected attorney general, it's critically important that she not be known as the sheriff of Wall Street. Now, that's been one traditional role for the New York State Attorney General, and some of our listeners will remember it became Eliot Spitzer's nickname when he was AG, Sheriff of Wall Street. Why is James running away from that?
I think there's a big question mark over why she's running away from that. It could be, some might say, that she's trying to send a signal to big donors from Wall Street ahead of this primary election that she's not going to come down on Wall Street with an incredibly heavy hand. Not surprisingly, her rivals in this primary have pounced on that statement and said, look, anyone who is the attorney general of the state of New York needs to embrace the idea that they are the sheriff of Wall Street. You can call it by whatever name you want to call it, but regulating financial institutions, major financial institutions, which are headquartered in New York City, is a critical part and historically has been an incredibly important part of the work of the attorney general's office. So that has opened up a very strong line of attack from her rivals, because on the issues, there's not a ton of daylight when it comes to policy differences between these four Democratic primary candidates. So the fact that James made a statement like that opened her up for a lot of criticism from all the other rivals in this race.
And unfortunately, here's what her running mate, Andrew Cuomo, said about that in 2010 about a different candidate at that time.
What do you mean you don't want to be the sheriff of Wall Street? The job description is you're the sheriff of Wall Street. If you don't want the job, don't run for the job.
Oops, Juan Manuel, do you know the context of that 8 years ago?
I quite not remember. I think it was against the Republican candidate for governor.
You know, and I'm not exactly sure either.
I think it was against Dan Donovan.
Dan Donovan. Okay, now congressman from Staten Island. And that was a different time, though. Remember 2010? It was right after the financial crisis. Everybody was extremely focused on the financial sector. Now we have a different time, and everybody seems to be against Donald Trump, at least here in New York City. And that's basically actually taking off some of the heat from the financial sector.
But Zach, is that what her comment was about? Because I get why she would want to be known, why anyone would want to be known for the fullness of their work in that office if elected. But to say it's critically important that she not be seen as the sheriff of Wall Street, she used the words critically important. It sounds like that's toxic to her for some reason, and I don't understand it yet.
And I'm not one of those people who's against Wall Street. You know, I think that Wall Street plays a very vital role in the New York economy. But, you know, let's go back to 10 years. They also don't always do the right thing. I mean, these are the guys who also securitized bad assets and sold them to the unwitting public, and no one ever went to jail for it. So, you know, we always have to remember that that is part of the job of minding the store. And Tish James yesterday issued a statement kind of trying to clean up, I think, what she said to the New York Times and said, I need to laser focus on 100 other issues. And that's all true, but it the one that stuck out was that one, and I think it left a lot of people scratching their heads. That's certainly part of the job, Brian.
It also created this funny dynamic in the New York Times. Kathy Wild, who's the executive director of the Partnership for New York City, a major business organization representing these financial institutions, she was in the New York Times defending Tish James, who is arguably on the opposite end of the political spectrum from many of the organizations, that the institutions, financial institutions in that group, and there she is defending Tish James, saying, look, we don't necessarily want to be going after Wall Street given the huge contribution that they make to New York City.
It could be also the ideological differences in this race. Letitia James, who's always been a progressive, now she's running with Andrew Cuomo, who's more of a centrist, and they are battling against Zephyr Teachout and Cynthia Nixon, who positioned themselves to the left of the center in the Democratic Party. So it might be also some positioning, political positioning there, and messaging for the voters of New York City.
212-433-WNYC if you have a question or a thought about the New York State Attorney General Democratic primary. 212-433-9692. And Bob in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I was curious, given the fact the congressman from the Hudson Valley, Monty, is both running currently for Congress and as well running for AG, since it's illegal to spend any funds running for a state office that is raised running for Congress, and it's illegal to run to spend any money running for Congress raised for a state office, whether he's agreed to recuse himself if he's elected for the inevitable investigation by the Attorney General's office of the fact that the person who was Attorney General has spent money for the office that he raised illegally.
Wow. And without getting too lost in the weeds of that, let me take a step back and say, yes, there are four candidates in this Attorney General primary. We've talked primarily so far about two of them, Letitia James and Zephyr Teachout. The other two are Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney from the Hudson Valley and a lobbyist for Verizon who also has a background in politics. How do you say her first name?
Licia Eve.
And we'll get to her in a minute. But on Sean Patrick Maloney, Zach, are you the best one for this? It is kind of weird that he's technically running for re-election and running for this nomination at the same time.
And this is a question we asked at the time when he first got into the race. Can you legally do this? I mean, look, his team has assured us they can, that they cleared it. They went with their lawyers and they think that he can run for both offices. Whether or not that ends up in court, I don't know the answer to that. I think it's very possible it does. And I think to the caller raises a very good point just about funds being used for one office versus another. I will say what's interesting about his candidacy, Brian, is that he does seem to be politically eating into Zephyr Teachout's base. She did very well in the Hudson Valley. That's a very progressive area of the state.
She even ran for Congress up there, though she lost, after she ran for governor.
She did, correct. And I think, you know, you widen that congressional district and go just from the Hudson Valley starting, you know, from Upper Westchester all the way up to Albany. That was really where I think she was looking to get turnout. And Sean Patrick Maloney is definitely going to cannibalize that a little bit. And there were even some conspiracy theories that Maloney was put up to running in this race by Governor Cuomo.
Huh, in support of Letitia James,
right,
his ally. But I also heard, Grace, that there was pressure on Maloney not to run so as not to put his congressional seat at risk, because he's in a swing district in the Hudson Valley, and if he, their familiar incumbent, suddenly disappears, it could become more vulnerable to a Republican takeover when the Democrats are trying to count heads on their way to a possible House majority.
Right, which makes his decision to run for this all the more perplexing, because before he won the seat in Congress, it was held by a Republican, and it could go back. And so there are many people who have said in the Democratic Party, why would we potentially put a swing district at risk when we have a full field of Democratic candidates for this position? So again, that has not been fully addressed. And if he did win and somebody was appointed to run in his position, they would obviously have a very short time period when it comes to fundraising, getting their name out, trying to compete. That could be a very heavy lift for a new Democrat who's trying to hold on to that seat.
Desmond in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Desmond.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. This is my question. Going along with the fact that one of the candidates for AG has said that they would not enforce the Moreland Commission, but and that Cuomo, in the quote that you played from 2010, said that basically you are the sheriff of Wall Street. After the crash in 2007, 2008, part of the biggest point that came out was that there are not sufficient legislation to hold back Wall Street. They literally create instruments that are beyond the law. And so a lot of that has to do with, one, the ignorance or the inability of legislators to understand what's going on, and then the willingness of them to create the laws, because they all need to run for office, and they're always running to raise funds. And the funds come from people who are in the financial industry, hedge funds, Wall Street, insurance, etc., at real estate. So all those people have a tremendous influence on the legislators, and they literally can't bite the hand that feeds mm-hmm. them. So when you talk about what's happening with the AG, who's also the name given to almost governor, it's a stepping stone, how is it that you're not looking at the entire legislative, the entire body, the legislation, mm-hmm. the judgeships, and
right.
the executive?
Desmond, I gotcha. And, you know, I've had conversations with Eric Schneiderman on this show, who's been the attorney general for most of the time since the financial crisis. And, you know, asked him, why aren't there more prosecutions of people at the head of these Wall Street firms? And his answer, kind of to Desmond's points, or one of them, is that I can't prosecute people for things that the law doesn't say are illegal, even if the law maybe should say they're illegal. So that might go to the influence of Wall Street on legislators through campaign donations and legislation, and maybe even to the attorney general. And Juan Manuel, that brings up another issue, which is accepting donations from corporations. Leisha Eve does, Zephyr Teachout doesn't. I mm-hmm. believe Letitia James and Sean Patrick Maloney do.
They do. Mm-hmm.
Only Teach Out is running on this sort of Bernie Sanders model of no corporate donations.
So I think voters are going to be more sensitive in the next few years. I don't know if it's going to be this election cycle, but maybe in the next election cycles coming in the next few years, to the fact that all these politicians are going to be regulating the financial sector and other sectors of the economy, that they're getting huge amounts of money to run for office. And obviously, that's going to compromise them at the end of the day. That's how politics has worked for many, many, many years in this country. A change might be coming. That's what many candidates like Zephyr Teachout, Cynthia Nixon, or even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who won the primary election in the Bronx and Queens against Joe Crowley. If voters get more sensitive about this issue, there might be some change coming to how politicians run their campaigns.
And let's spend a few minutes before we run out of time on the least known candidate to our downstate listeners, Verizon lobbyist, technically vice president for government affairs at Verizon, Leisha Eve. The news organization City and State thumbnails her background like this, folks. It says, corporate lobbying is just one stop in Eve's long career in politics. Born in Buffalo, the daughter of longtime Assemblyman Arthur Eve, went to Harvard Law School before joining major law firms, first in Washington, D.C., then back in Buffalo. Then she went to the Capitol, serving as legislative counsel for then-U.S. Senators Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. Before joining Verizon, she served for 2 years in Governor Andrew Cuomo's cabinet as Deputy Secretary for Economic Development. So, Zach Fink, a distinguished background, to be sure. Why is she running for Attorney General?
Very much so. And, you know, ties to both Hillary Clinton and Andrew Cuomo. She also has some very talented people working for her. Basil Smigel, who used to head the party, for example, certainly did at one point. I think he still does. So, you know, she has impressive credentials. I think the problem is by the time she got into the race, it was already a crowded field. And you have, as we've been talking about, each of these candidates have kind of a built-in constituency, which makes it harder for someone who's not in elected office to really gain traction. Now, Zephyr Teachout also doesn't hold an elected position, but she ran statewide once. As you mentioned, she also ran for Congress. So her name has been out there as a candidate, where Lissy Eaves really has not.
And to her being currently a lobbyist, vice president for government affairs for Verizon, I mean, part of the state attorney general's job is to monitor the behavior toward consumers of corporations, Verizon and many others.
Right, and that could become an issue if it looks like she's gaining more traction. I haven't seen her rivals in the race so far going after her. They seem to be saving their shots for Tish James, who appears to be the front runner at this point. If there is a front runner, as Juan pointed out, you know, more than 40% are still undecided, but those early polls do show James in the lead slightly. So we haven't seen her rivals go after her and make a point of that, but that certainly is territory that would be fair game for them to point to and say, you have serious conflicts that could be an issue if you actually won this job.
All right. We've got a minute or two left. I think we've covered the attorney general race as much as we're going to today. And again, listeners, all four of these candidates in the attorney general Democratic primary in New York have agreed to appear on this show. We've got four individual interviews. They'll all take your phone calls coming up in the next several weeks. Let me go back with the three of you from New York One to the governor's race just for a second before we run out of time. Juan Manuel, we know that Governor Cuomo finally accepted a debate. Mm-hmm. I guess we can say full disclosure against sour grapes. They didn't accept the New York One invitation. They didn't accept the WNYC invitation with Channel 7. They accepted the Channel 2 WCBS invitation for August 29th, Wednesday. This is the dead zone. This has happened before on this show and elsewhere where candidates have accepted primary season debates right going into Labor Day weekend, the dead zone of the news cycle, as much as they can if they want to avoid publicity. And here is Cuomo about to debate Cynthia Nixon on that date, Wednesday, August 29th. They made a big deal of him insisting that they're going to be sitting rather than standing at that debate. Do you know if that's it? Is there only going to be the one?
It might be, even though we're still hopeful, right, Ryan?
Yes, both of our groups.
Right. But at the end of the day, I grew up looking up to this country and how elections are run and how many candidates are willing to debate and their challengers or their counterparts on television, on the radio. And I think it's really sad when political candidates, even those who've been in office for so many years, they're not willing to go out there and show the voters who they are, what are they are fighting for, and why they are better than their challengers in this case. So I think voters at some point are going to be rewarding those politicians that are willing to take hard questions from reporters instead of just flooding the airwaves with commercials paid for by big campaign donations.
Any last thought, Grace, Zach, on the debate or debates maybe coming up?
I think also there's a danger, not only is that a dead zone, but there's also a danger of voter fatigue that week, because that same week, that Tuesday night, New York One is hosting a debate with the four attorney general candidates. And then the next night is the governor's debate. And then that Thursday night, I believe there's a debate for lieutenant governor. So,
heard one version, sorry to jump in, but I had heard one version that said Cuomo accepted the August 29th debate on the same day as the lieutenant governor candidates.
That is true.
Yes.
The lieutenant governor debate is in the morning, and the gubernatorial debate will be at night. I will say this. There's a lot to give Governor Cuomo a hard time about. However, on this one, I will give him a pass. He is the incumbent. He doesn't technically have to debate at all. I do remember covering news for years in New Jersey, and the consultants who represented the incumbent would say, oh, we'll debate, and it'll be the Saturday night before the primary. That's when we'll debate. So, there are many ways to do it worse. At least he's going to come up there and debate his opponent.
And when we had a bid in way back in 2001, when Michael Bloomberg was running to be mayor, and first he had to get through a Democratic through a Republican primary against Herman Badillo, Bloomberg finally accepted what I believe was the only debate of that election season, live on this show on the Friday morning going into Labor Day weekend. So he accepted. I could have been flattered that he accepted our invitation, or I could have looked at it with realistic eyes and say, oh, he accepted a radio-only, no TV debate on the Friday going
a little bit of both,
Labor
right?
Day.
Take
right?
whatever you can get.
So there is that. And who knows, Zach, maybe Cuomo is more concerned with the renomination prospects of his running mate, Kathy Hochul, than he is with his own, because she may actually have, according to the polls, a tougher challenge with Jermoni Williams from Brooklyn. And by the way, both those candidates will be on the show as well. And that he's trying to take attention away from that debate.
There could be. And I had heard that there were some internal polls in the Kathy Hochul camp that were not great, that he is perhaps within striking distance. So, there has been some concern on that end.
All right. Zach Fink, Albany State House reporter, Grace Rao, political reporter for Spectrum News New York One, and Juan Manuel Benitez, host of Pura Politica, the weekly political show on their Spanish language station, New York One Noticias. And they're all co-hosts of the new podcast from Spectrum News New York One, and that's called Off Topic on Politics. Congratulations in joining our audio world with the podcast.
Thank you, Brian.
And talk to you all soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having us.